eating, drinking, talking, dancing, the evening winged past. When it was time to go and I had my coat on and was shaking hands with Mrs. Pumphrey in the hall, François appeared again with a bowl of hot soup. He seemed to be worried lest I grow faint on the journey home. After the soup, Mrs. Pumphrey said, "And now you must come and say good night to Tricky. He'll never forgive you if you don't." We went into his room and the little dog yawned from the depths of the armchair and wagged his tail. Mrs. Pumphrey put her hand on my sleeve. "While you're here, I wonder if you'd be so kind as to examine his claws. I've been so worried in case they might be growing too long." I lifted up the paws, one by one, and scrutinized the claws while Tricky lazily licked my hands. "No, you needn't worry. They're perfectly all right." "Thank you so much. I'm so grateful to you. Now you must wash your hands." In the familiar bathroom with the sea-green basins and the enameled fishes on the walls and the dressing table and the bottles on the glass shelves, I looked around as the steaming water ran from the tap. There was my own towel by the basin and the usual new slab of soap. Soap that lathered in an instant and gave off an expensive scent. It was the final touch of balm on a gracious evening. It had been a few hours of luxury and light, and I carried the memory back with me to Skeldale House. I got into bed, switched off the light, and lay on my back looking up into the darkness. Snatches of music still tinkled about in my head, and I was beginning to swim back to the ballroom when the phone rang.
"This is Atkinson of Beck Cottage,"
a faraway voice said.
"I have a sow here that can't get pigged. She's been on all night. Will you come?"
I looked at the clock as I put down the receiver. It was 2 a.m. I felt numbed. A farrowing right on top of the champagne and the smoked salmon and those little biscuits with the black heaps of caviar. And at Beck Cottage, one of the most primitive small holdings in the district. It wasn't fair. Sleepily, I took off my pajamas and pulled on my shirt. As I reached for the stiff, worn corduroys I used for work, I tried not to look at the hired suit hanging on the corner of the wardrobe. I groped my way down the long garden to the garage. In the darkness of the yard, I closed my eyes, and the great chandeliers blazed again. The mirrors flashed, and the music played. It was only 2 miles out to Beck Cottage. It lay in a hollow, and in the winter the place was a sea of mud. I left my car and squelched through the blackness to the door of the house. My knock was unanswered, and I moved across to the cluster of buildings opposite and opened the half door into the byre. The warm, sweet bovine smell met me as I peered towards a light, showing dimly at the far end where a figure was standing. I went inside past the shadowy rows of cows, standing side by side with broken wooden partitions between them, and past the mounds of manure piled behind them. Mr. Atkinson didn't believe in mucking out too often. Stumbling over the broken floor, splashing through pools of urine, I arrived at the end, where a pen had been made by closing off a corner with a gate. I could just make out the form of a pig, pale in the gloom, lying on her side. There was a scanty bed of straw under her, and she lay very still except for the trembling of her flanks. As I watched, she caught her breath and strained for a few seconds. Then the straining began again. Mr. Atkinson received me without enthusiasm. He was middle-aged, sported a week's growth of beard, and wore an ancient hat with a brim which flopped round his ears. He stood hunched against the wall, one hand deep in a ragged pocket, the other holding a bicycle lamp with a fast-failing battery. "Is that all the light we've got?" I asked.
"Aye, it is," Mr. Atkinson replied, obviously surprised.
He looked from the lamp to me with a "what more does he want?" expression. "Let's have it, then." I trained the feeble beam on my patient.
"Yeah, just a young pig, isn't she?"
"Aye. Nobbet of gilt. First litter."
The pig strained again, shuddered, and lay still.
"Something stuck there, I reckon," I said. "Will you bring me a bucket of hot water, some soap and a towel, please?"
"Haven't got no hot water. Fire's out."
"Okay, bring me whatever you've got."
The farmer clattered away down the byre, taking the light with him, and, with the darkness, the music came back again. It was a Strauss waltz, and I was dancing with Lady Frenswick. She was young and very fair, and she laughed as I swung her round. I could see her white shoulders and the diamonds winking at her throat and the wheeling mirrors. Mr. Ackerson came shuffling back and dumped a bucket of water on the floor. I dipped a finger in the water. It was ice cold, and the bucket had seen many hard years. I would have to watch my arms on that jagged rim. Quickly stripping off jacket and shirt, I sucked in my breath as a villainous draught blew through a crack onto my back. "Soap, please," I said through clenched teeth.
"In bucket,"